I didn't say anything that wasn't true, did I? Not a damn thing.
I thought it was a nice version.
Not a thing. Because I don't want to give up on him one day. Yeah, in one week. I don't want to give up on him in 1 week and say a bunch of things I have to take back next week, but it ain't good. And you got to get this thing going because people are already saying some very fatalistic stuff to me right now, and I don't want to hear any of it. I don't want to hear a word of it. I don't want to read a word of it. I don't want to hear a word of it because once you guys go down that avenue, you're never coming back. So you can't just throw this crap out there about replacement and things like that. Once you do, that's it. You're never getting it back. It's the investment is over. So I'm not going to go there now. After next week, if he plays like garbage next week, I'll entertain it a little bit. But I can't do anything else. Because once you do, oh boy. 216-474-0092. Yes.
Kevin Stefanski, 12:30. We will air that live right here on 92.3 The Fan during Baskin and Phelps.
Can't wait. Boy. Looking forward to the moment. Mark your calendars. We ready?
Let's go.
All right. Yeah, do you have anything you want to get off your chest before we welcome them in?
We will. We'll devote this to the callers. Get it off your chest. But
what's wild around the NFL at 9:20?
I'm catching a lot of flack, and understandably so, from a lot of people who are bringing up other quarterbacks like Joe Flacco and Baker, who didn't necessarily have time with the ones.
You had to say it.
We will. We'll talk about what he did because he had the best statistical performance, I guess, in the NFL yesterday in terms of EPA. But I get it. I understand. Quarterbacks, there have been plenty of quarterbacks who have come off the shelf and played well with guys they don't even know. I can't explain that. I can't explain that. All I can tell you is that this was not an optimal experience for getting Deshaun Watson ready for the season. Some of that was he's coming off surgery. But I think part of it is they built up the hype on him talking about there were no limitations. He was saying, hey, I'm still an elite quarterback. His quarterback guru said it was the best velocity maybe in his career that he was throwing the ball harder. Ken Dorsey, all that stuff. You know, they probably didn't need to build up the expectations that way. I'm curious why they did that. You said maybe the overcompensation was because they wanted to build him up to maybe he wasn't believing. And that makes me really nervous because if your quarterback in this league is not confident and is not believing in himself, you obviously have bigger issues than anything else.
216-474-0092. JJ in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Good morning, you guys. How y'all doing?
Wonderful. Well, can't you tell?
Off, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yesterday it was a team loss. You know, I just hear a lot of Deshaun Watson, not bashing, but like a lot of the blame is getting thrown his way. But, I mean, I didn't hear nothing from Amari Cooper. David Njoku dropped a big pass early in the game, ended up leaving the game injured. Jerry Jeudy dropped the pass right through his hands. You know, offensive line was horrible. Michael Parsons, 9 pressures by just alone, him alone. 9 pressures. No defense. You know, Myles Garrett early in the game, a couple good plays. Tomlinson, a couple good plays. But other than that, you know, I remember one stretch where, what's his number 88? I don't know why his name is.
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb was torching the secondary.
Yeah.
Like, horribly. Like, the whole drive was CeeDee Lamb. The whole drive. So, I mean, we just can't put the blame on him. Yeah, he didn't look good. You know, it was the first game of the season, I'm going to say that. You know, and he going through some personal stuff in his personal life. So, you know, get a guy passed, man, and let's see what he do next week. You know what I'm saying? Against a lesser opponent, maybe get our feet a little wet. But yesterday it was a team loss, man, from the team and the coaches as well. Yeah. And that offensive line is showing that Callahan is not here, and they need to get it together.
Boy, they really didn't like Bill Callahan. I'll tell you this, JJ, the guys – I think they respect Bill Callahan. I think that he started to wear thin with them, but at the same time, if they're going to turn in that performance, I don't think any fans care about any of that stuff.
He was whipping them in shape. He was keeping them together because mm-hmm. right now you can tell they've fallen apart, and it's ugly to watch. You know, I mean, And Deshaun, he didn't look no better. So some of the blame do fall on him as well. But it was a whole team just ugly performance,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
They need to come back next week and pit up a better performance all around, man.
JJ, thank you very much for the call. You're not wrong about any of it. In fact, you're right about all of it. Greg in Hudson, congratulations on all your success. You're next up on the Fan.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Glad to have you.
I want to start off by saying this. I am really tired of the media nationally and locally telling me how great this roster is. This roster is nothing to, you know, get excited about. The play calling with Stefanski, your boy Jason Lloyd has screamed up and down the wall about how great of a coach he is. This team was totally unprepared yesterday. I'm tired of hearing Stefanski telling me about mental reps. Mental reps. He had mental reps. Coach Stefanski, do mental reps teach tackling? Do they teach blocking? Because there was none evident yesterday in that game. And I'm going to leave you with this. And this is the most disturbing part about the whole game yesterday. There's a part in that game where that team quit. And I point specifically to the punt return. From my seat where I was sitting, I couldn't tell why in God's name somebody couldn't push that guy out of bounds. I got home, I watched the tape. The damn punter, I don't know what he was doing, but the effort he put on that, any respectable coach in this league would have yanked him off that field immediately and not put him back in. This is ridiculous. This guy is like a student or a substitute teacher who can't control the unruly classroom. I am tired of hearing about how great he is. I'm tired of hearing about how great Andrew Berry's putting a roster
together.
So you just didn't
care about what they did last season. That didn't factor into this call at all. It's like last year never happened.
I've been screaming for years that this guy's been overrated. Okay, he lived off that pandemic year. Okay, let's be real about that.
Okay, that was one year, but what about last year?
Well, he did a good job last year, Greg. You know he did a good job last year.
Let me finish. I'm not saying he didn't do a good job last year, but let's go back. Let's fast forward to this year now. What got him success last year? It was his offense with a quarterback that knew how to run his offense. This, you know, destroying everything for Watson is not working. It is not working. Okay, this is 3 years.
So, what should Kevin Stefanski do about this right now?
First of all, I would have never ever gotten Watson. That was a dumb mistake. Okay.
Yeah, but they have him.
I know. I agree with your one caller who called a couple calls ago and said, "Let's save face, admit the mistake, start over, get rid of him, go with Winston this year, and just hopefully keep your first round pick. It will get in a top five." Start and get yourself a quarterback because you're just wasting time with this guy. We're heading for another 3 and 4 win season. I hate to say that.
Man, Greg, thank you very much for the call.
Look, based on yesterday, if you think they're just going to play like that every single week, then yeah, I could understand why you'd say top five pick and 3 and 4. They are going to play way, guys, they are going to play way better than that. That was a horrific performance. Every level. Somebody in my mention said the defense actually played really good. I do not think the defense played good. They will play so much better than they played yesterday. Dallas does present some obvious problems. Now, I will say they do go up against great pass rushers.
I can't believe you're looking at social media right now. I can't look at social media. I'm done.
Do you think that the Giants are on the same level as the Cowboys?
No.
The Raiders on the same
level.
The Commanders on the same level. So that's three of the next four games.
But they do have to win all three of those games.
Yes.
The Cowboys have been a really good regular season team for the last
one of the best in the NFL.
Listen, I got to say something in defense of the guy, all right? We keep talking about Joe Flacco. What are we saying about Joe Flacco here? As if Joe Flacco didn't throw two pick sixes in the playoff game against the Houston Texans. So don't give me this, if he would have had a whole season, a whole preseason with Joe Flacco, do we really think that Joe Flacco would do that much better against that team had he not played in the preseason? Because you probably wouldn't have played him in the preseason because he's an older man, and we're afraid he's rickety and he's going to get hurt. So you would have played him in the preseason because you still didn't have any of your tackles there to play in the preseason, so you'd probably still be in the same place. I'd probably be more apt to make a bunch of excuses for Joe Flacco because it would still be new, but I wouldn't have a lot of confidence going into an entire season with Joe Flacco. We want to talk about the other guy. Fine, let's talk about the other guy. The other guy's done well. The other guy has Mike Evans. The other guy has Godwin. The other guy has an intact offensive line with the better offensive lineman in that draft, a la, except for Jedrick Wills, it's Tristan Wirfs. That guy has protection. That guy has support. That guy's able to take care of his business. That guy played very well yesterday. But when he played well with the Browns yesterday? Would Baker Mayfield have played well with the Browns yesterday?
No, no.
Thank you very much.
And guys.
So there is a mix of all of this.
Also played the Commanders. Okay, they played maybe the worst team in football.
You say that, but they're on our schedule too.
I know.
Record that, because if they go out there and by the time that's October 6th, so by the time that day comes around, who the hell knows where we're all going to be emotionally by that time? That might be just a little drop in the pond by the time that game comes around. You better hope that's just the case. Jacksonville ain't that great. The Giants ain't that great. The Raiders suck. We got a real opportunity coming up here. But I ain't going to make no excuses. If he goes up there and sucks up the room against all those other teams, then yeah, we got to have that conversation, guys. Now, Greg, when he's talking about the talent that the roster hasn't or doesn't have, and he's tired of hearing about it, yeah, you're tired of hearing about it because you know there's talent on the roster, and they can't do anything with it. So you've been through all of this. And you've waited this entire time for it to come together, and it's sort of coming together in a way, and then it goes completely flat. Which is what happened in the playoff game last year. I mean, the coulda, woulda, shoulda stuff. What's done is done. I wouldn't have made the trade. What's done is done. I got to figure out a way with the guy. I got to figure out a way with the team. Yeah, I don't know what Andy Dickerson does. Maybe he should be a little bit more like an old man that everybody trusts, who coached in a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. I don't know what else to make of the guy. Maybe we should have talked tough with Bill Callahan and not let him coach with his son, Brian. Maybe we should have done it. Maybe we should have held Bill Callahan hostage. Maybe we should have done that. I'm serious, Anthony. Should we have done it? Should we have done it? Because the offensive line's terrible. I'm afraid of what Jed Wills is going to be when he comes back. We haven't even scratched that surface because he isn't able to play. So, guys, as bad as it is, it can get worse. Hell yeah, it can get worse. Dallas is good. They won 12 games last year. They were a disappointment in the playoffs just like we were. Their coach is on the hot seat. They'd come out play their ass off. Dallas is a good team. You do any of this stuff against any one of these other teams I just talked about, I mean, you got four garbage, one's okay, then you got three garbage opponents, one after another. With bad organizations, bad cultures, bad rosters, bad everything. Bad stadium in one of the cases. And I could say all that, and if any of those team beat you, none of this is anywhere near any of the anger and vitriol that will be spit out at those times. I'm getting loud. I'm trying to pace myself here. Because I know that I'm more nervous than I am mad. Because if they don't do well with this, I will shout myself hoarse in a month if this continues. And we will have to have an earnest conversation about replacement. Can I fit one in real quick? Dan and Amherst, you got to go quick. Go. Quick.
Just have Jameson Winston start this game and run through the plays. And then you can bring Deshaun Wett back.
Well, at least we...
Is that worth it for you?
Yeah, you're going to have that. Oh, the last call
Let's
was
see if Chuck
fiery.
Can fix it here.
All right, Chuck and Shaker Heights. Got to go quick. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Everybody's cooking this morning. Listen, one of the guys took my thunder as far as Stefanski coaching. He never gets in nobody's face and everything. You know, he's kind of mild-mannered coach.
Yeah.
I wonder if he like that with his coaching staff, because they got beat in all three phases yesterday, offense, defense, and special teams. So I wonder, do he get in the coaches' faces and tell them we can't have this kind of stuff?
No.
You understand?
He's not going to. You can't. Grown men can't get in other grown men's faces unless they're ready for a fight. You can't go fighting in the office.
But he's their boss. Am I right?
I understand he's their boss, but he can't sit there and dress that. These are proud, egotistical men. Some of these guys have been head coaches before. You can't dress those guys down like that.
I understand that, but you got to come strong. You got to do something different here. You know, what about one other point? What about as far as next season, if everybody's still here, do you think that Stefanski will play these guys in the preseason to stop babying them?
I mean, we got to get to that level right now. We got to get there.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Hold on for that question, Chuck.
You got to have some reps in a live session.
Yeah, you do.
Like a live preseason game.
Now, yeah. And I understood why they didn't do it, but I'm not surprised that they came out and they played like this. Again, it sounds like I'm angry because I'm a very passionate person. I'm very nervous. I'm just very, very, very nervous.
We got to focus in right now, though. We'll give you that answer next July.
Yes,
on
here we go.
In the preseason.
So you told me yesterday, while I was listening to you on the pregame, you told me and the audience
that was bizarre.
That there was a development taking place down in, what was it, Miami?
Yes.
Miami. What in the world happened with Tyreek Hill?
So Tyreek Hill was trying to get to the stadium, and it was him and Calais Campbell, and apparently he had cut some people off, and he was pulled over for allegedly speeding while driving to Hard Rock Stadium. And this was roughly 3 hours before the game had started. Jeff Darlington, who is now the Nick Castellanos of reporters.
If he's there before a sports event, something's going down.
And he had said, quote, "Right now I'm still trying to put it all together. I still don't know what happened." That's what Tyreek Hill had said. But he said, I do want to use the platform to say, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? Because one of the things that were brought up is that there were people who believed that Tyreek Hill was struck during this incident, and he was put in handcuffs and then released after the citation.
Did you see the videos of
people
driving by?
Yes.
I mean, they had him face down in the pavement, and you could hear obscenities being yelled.
It was not good.
It was pretty crazy.
And then And then he scored a touchdown, and he and Jalen Waddle reenacted the detainment on the field.
Yes. We have some Tyreek postgame. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Right now, I'm still trying to put it all together, so I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. But I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know, because it's crazy. Like, I want to be a cop one day. I got a state trooper hat, all that, you know, so I got a lot of respect for cops, man. But obviously, everybody has bad apples in every situation, you know, so I want to be able to figure out a way to, like, flip this and, you know, make it a positive on both ends, on my end and then also Miami-Dade, you know, so that way we can team together and do something positive for the community, because that's what it's all about, bro.
Well, that was a nice sentiment. The videos, I mean,
what did he say?
For a second, it looked like this thing was going
to
get...
Let's cut to the chase. This just didn't happen out of nowhere.
He was probably a little bit late getting there, I imagine, right. And he was in a hurry to get there, and
so they
probably told the cop that he was in a hurry to get there, and then I don't know what happened after that.
Yeah, and it's a Scottie Scheffler situation all over again. It's crazy to compare this to a golfer.
He was driving like a Lamborghini or something, though. It was a very nice sports car. It was not...
They all are down there.
It was not the Buick that the league has given you to drive up, like Scottie Scheffler was in.
But Lima is right. Like, his Lamborghini kind of blends in with the other ones.
It's amazing. It is. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah.
And you're down in Florida, but when you go to Key West, maybe a little different. When you're down near Miami and Fort Lauderdale... I swear to God,
on mopeds in
Key West. Yeah, you're right. You're sitting there in traffic. It's Bugatti. It's Rolls Royce. And they're all custom.
Yeah.
They're all crazy. Each one more colorful than the next. You have like 18-year-old kids that rent these insane vehicles with cash. How did he get that money? That's interesting. It is unbelievable,
like,
what you see down there.
In Cleveland, Ohio, on a Sunday morning, if you used to see an orange Rolls Royce, you kind of had an idea who was driving and going to the stadium.
Yeah.
But, yeah, down there. And when we went on vacation, I toyed with the notion of, I was like, oh, man, we can get an exotic for this much for the day. It was like $230.
Get a Ram Charger.
For 10 minutes. You got like 10 minutes.
You get a Hellcat and do that. Those things are fun and do all that stuff.
So I'd like to know what was said to get it. Because obviously the situation escalated at an insane amount. I saw Drew Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus was interviewed.
Corvette, all those new Corvettes?
They had him on CBS. I was like, good get. They got Rosenhaus, who is his agent. And he's like, we are investigating the situation.
Yeah, that was...
He was very sweaty.
It was bizarre.
He was. He looked terrible.
Yeah, could you imagine why?
I think he planned on being on TV.
Yeah.
It was out of nowhere.
I think Drew Rosenhaus was expecting to have to talk about that at that moment.
He was drenched.
Well, I'm glad cooler heads prevailed. In all seriousness.
All right, that's the first thing.
All right, you want to do the second thing? Fine, you do it. I'm good.
All right, we got to talk about Baker. We have to. We have not talked about him.
We don't have to do that.
A lesser show would have led with Baker Mayfield somehow and done a comparison. We did not. Now, a caller.
This show 2 years ago would have led with Baker.
Yeah, a lesser show, this one, 2 years ago. Baker was insane yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Now, it was against the Commanders. Now, I did go back and look at just the highlights.
They're coming up on the schedule.
He was really good. Now, he was 24-30. He was the most efficient player, the most efficient quarterback in the NFL yesterday.
He was the most efficient?
Yeah. EPA per play, he was number one, edging out Patrick Mahomes. Our guy was 30th.
When do you start?
Still
at
has two more quarterbacks.
He was better than two of them. Okay.
So, well, there's still, no.
Here you go. You and your analytics guys getting in on it.
Uh-huh. Well, if we had Chris Godwin and Rashad White and Mike Evans.
Yeah,
the way
Evans,
did trade for three wide receivers for our quarterback.
Evans did make a really good catch, but it was a dime. It was a dime right on him. Here's Baker after the 37-20 win over the Commanders.
That's the standard that this group has. We expect to be able to come out and be that efficient. Every game's going to be different. You know, this is the NFL. It's highly competitive, but we expect to be able to be that efficient on offense. Defense is going to play physical. But yeah, it's good to see that we came out week one, put everything together. And like I said, there's still stuff to work on, but this is a good building block for us.
All right, is this just that they played the Commanders, or is Baker really building off the playoff year? He looked confident. I mean, he had an energy to him. We did body language with Deshaun, totally different with Baker yesterday. And we've seen Baker at his highs and his lows.
He seems in a really
good
place
right now.
We've seen him
both. So we know. Like, we know he's had those Deshaun Watson moments. But yesterday was Baker 2020.
He seems in a really good place right now. He looks really confident. He's playing really well. There, you happy? It's all true. I'm not saying it's not true. It's all true.
Are you doing a hostage video right now?
Should this show have ignored Baker Mayfield?
I'm just begrudgingly admitting it. Should we? What? Should we? Should we or should we not have?
Yeah, I think it's our responsibility.
I'm not ignoring him.
He is relevant in Browns conversations, guys.
Of course he's relevant in Browns conversations, damn it. But I wanted to focus on our own problems first because I can't turn back time. Not share.
Let me ask you this, and be as honest as you can.
Because I've been honest the entire morning. Why change now?
You know how ownership...
No, I would not do the trade.
Okay. Not only that, though. You know ownership, how they felt about Baker Mayfield. And Baker at some points, I mean, he had reached Bernie Kosar levels in this town without having to go to AFC Championship games as well. People were on board. How relevant is Baker week to week in this town as Deshaun Watson plays like that?
Every week. Every week. Every single week. It's a comparison now. Every single week, because he ain't good. So there's a comparison there. And every time I look at Baker Mayfield for what he is, which is at best a top, at very best, like 12th. Okay? Overall.
All right.
Top 10 at his very best is a top 10 QB. But if I look at him rationally and try to say that, and our guy continues to play where, what, he was 30th? Well, then,
like 28.
Whatever. It's still really, really bad. It was, it was really bad. I don't need a ranking to know how bad it was.
They were good, and he was not good.
Yeah, he was good, and our guy was not good. Well, there you go.
Yeah, he was ahead of. No, Watson was ahead of one quarterback so far, and that was Daniel Jones in EPA per play. Final story.
Oh, my God.
Final story. Now, we saw what happened with the Bengals.
Worse.
We were feeling good about the Browns before kickoff when the Bengals...
First round pick, Daniel Jones.
When the Bengals played the way they did and Joe Burrow was a mess. But it was overall a very boring game.
First round pick, Joe Burrow.
We debuted this segment titled, What Was Wild Around the League? Again, brought to you by WildEagle.com. So I would like to ask Mitch, who put together this little medley to get us ready for today.
A medley.
And ask him what was wild about that game, because from what I saw, that was maybe the worst game of the weekend.
Well, what was wild? You want Mitch to explain it. All right, because I have an explanation, but yeah, you want Mitch to do it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mitch, where are you coming at that was wild yesterday just because the Bengals were favored and nobody really thought the Patriots? This was a survivor pool pick. Is that where you're coming from?
Mostly that, because people were expecting the Bengals to finally have the advantage in a week one matchup, which they've been historically not great with. Joe Burrow's coming back from injury, but this Patriots team not only beat them on Sunday, they actually looked like they might have been the better team in what was Jerod Mayo's first game.
I mean, it was ugly. There's no doubt. Joe Burrow, they did not let it fly. Everything was short. I mean, to throw for 150 yards with all those passes and be trailing, you know, for a big part of that game. I don't know if it was all Burrow, but here's what he had to say afterwards.
This is Jerod Mayo.
This is Jerod Mayo, okay. What he had to say afterwards.
Very proud. My message to the players, they gave me the Gatorade shower and things like that. But, without them, I'm nothing. So, and I made sure they knew that. Like, they crossed the white lines. I always talk about empowering the players to go out there and play. I always talk about awareness really being the number one thing and those guys taking ownership. So, all the praise goes to those guys, and they did a great job.
Jacoby Brissett, 15 of 24 for 121 yards. But it was it was a rough game to watch.
It was. And it was week one, and just to win, you got to slop it up. And they slopped it up, and Joe Burrow looked sloppy. Jamar Chase was a little off. I mean, everything was a little off. It was all off.
That was What Was Wild Around the League, powered by Wild Eagle Saloon in Broadview Heights, downtown and Streetsboro. More details, wildeagle.com. That game was on same time, Steelers and Falcons. But two of those games, ugly, ugly, ugly. Kirk Cousins did not look healthy.
The Steelers are the only team with a win in the division. They have not scored a touchdown.
Our head coach for our youth team texted me. I went, "What? That's how they scored? It was six field goals?
Six field goals.
And we got beat like that?
I can't say nothing.
I want to say something. Can't say nothing. Are we done talking about the other guy?
Go ahead. Let's get back to it.
I don't want to talk about the other guy. No, the other guy.
No, I know.
Well, when there's more than one guy.
This is a nightmare. This is an absolute nightmare. Jimmy in Strongsville, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
We're doing okay. Go ahead.
Good. I appreciate, Ken, what you're saying about Baker and agreeing that he did play outstanding yesterday and that, possibly he's in the top 10 quarterbacks and all these other good things.
But I don't know what I'm saying, Jimmy. I mean, when I'm sitting there going, maybe he's tough to me, I'm just in a bad mood. Because I know the truth of the matter. You know that. Yeah.
All right, just listening to what you're saying and I'm repeating it. But all right, forget that. Having said that.
Doesn't sound as good for you.
The problem is, in my opinion, somebody in the Browns hierarchy, be it the Haslams or Andrew Berry or a combination of both, made a value judgment that Baker Mayfield wasn't the guy and they moved off him. That's bad enough based on sometimes his very, very above average quarterback play at minimum. But having compound that, by giving up three number one draft choices, two fours, and $230 million in potential bonus money for free agents and the like, that's where the real problem lies. And someone, I don't know if Andrew Berry was told you're going to make this deal or if it was Andrew Berry's deal. No one knows. But then you have, and I'm going to take a shot here, you have people like Mary Kay Cabot coming on these radio stations repeatedly and just, mouthing whatever it is.
Well,
no one does. Wait a minute.
Well, Jimmy, I can't, but
no
she's not here to defend herself.
Investigative journalism.
She's not here to defend herself.
Investigation.
Jimmy, I can't.
Wait, Jimmy, what investigation do you want? What do you want us to uncover?
I want the tough questions asked of Andrew Berry. Who did this? Who created this nightmare? Because you have a nightmare here now in Cleveland. This guy's not the quarterback. You know it. All right, we can throw darts at Stefanski and all the Bill Callahan, everything else. This was a terrible, disastrous move.
Jimmy,
can you imagine if this happened in another city?
Jimmy, I respect what you're saying. You can come after us, Anthony and I. But I can't let you yell at her.
You.
No, it's okay. I'm the big boy. I can take it. It's not a big deal, Jimmy.
I understand that. I want to know why no one's asking the hard questions and screwing down on Andrew Berry and the Haslams. They caused this situation.
Ultimately.
It's bad enough that they gave up a guy who could play.
Now, okay? I've said this, Jimmy, I understand. I got to let you go, though, okay? I got to let you go. I've said this a bunch. It is my understanding, and it's been my understanding for the last few years, that ownership had to have it shown to them that Baker was not going to be the guy. And at that time, in the 2021 season, damn well there was a lot of people. They weren't this boisterous. They were running and hiding because it got really ugly during 2021. Now, I didn't want to do this today, but every game looks like it's going to be a referendum between the two guys, so we have to do it again. I can't just change the history of things. I can't just do it. Because at that time, we had to ask hard questions. Remember, if your job depended on Baker Mayfield, would you keep Baker Mayfield employed for you? And most people said no. Only the most ardent supporters, like the guy in the leather vest who used to sit over here, was the only one who basically said yes. Everybody else said no. They all absolved themselves of it. Now, yeah, he's got good players around him, and he can make the most of those good players. It's not that the guy never had talent. The guy had talent. He has talent. He has talent. But in your hearts, most of us did not believe he could take us to the promised land. And they tore that thing down and stockpiled all that work for a team that would take us to the promised land, and they were desperate. And they made a desperate move, and now we are dealing with it. Here's Mitch. He was a baseball boy. He was all Ohio. Mitch, please.
Sure was. And this clip comes to us from the Bill Simmons podcast via The Ringer. Bill and Cousin Sal talking about the panic rankings for many teams, including the Browns. And they, of course, got to the topic of Deshaun Watson.
I'm completely out. I don't see it. I don't think he's salvageable. There's no evidence that the guy from the last Houston season is coming back. He was a disaster. And the fans were booing. I just don't know what their moves are with Deshaun. His body language is awful. There's plays. There was a couple plays today where they had perfect protection for him in the pocket, and he would just scramble out anyway, Zach Wilson style, and just kind of create a dangerous situation for himself. He doesn't seem salvageable to me, Sal.
I think you're right. And now when I picked the Browns over, I mentioned Jameis Winston a lot. And I mentioned the fact that they had five quarterbacks, and they could do it with five quarterbacks again this year if they could find their Flacco, and maybe he's out there.
They kind of have to stick this out for 2-3 more weeks, but worst case scenario, you're just doing what Denver did with Russell Wilson, and you're eating it, because I don't think it's a bad team. I think it's they have above average talent, and he killed them today, and that's it. That's what happened in that game.
All right, so at least we got Bill Simmons' opinion on things on the record, so great. All right, anything else?
I mean, I hate to say it, but is that not also a reflection of what many of our own fans think? I mean, where do you think the majority of our fans are right now on Watson?
Not high, Anthony.
Obviously, it's, you know, you're cherry picking the only game that you played, so I guess it wouldn't be cherry picking, but this is the one, you know, you're not hearing a lot of second half in Baltimore today. You're just not going to hear that. But, man, the way that crowd was yesterday, that guy's psyche has already been fairly damaged. He's not the confident player he was in Houston. And the Boo Birds have come out in what percentage of his home games? So far.
Listen, guys, they don't like him. There's some level of understanding, but we've said this a billion times. It's a business relationship. And, you know, if a member of your family, when you draft a guy, it feels like he's part of your family. It feels like, hey, your team selected him out of the lot of players. You feel a personal connection with that guy. Even if it's fleeting, even if it's like Johnny Manziel and it's basically a comet across the sky, you feel a connection with that person. That your team picked him, you're a part of that team, you selected him for better or worse, there's some understanding. So you give them more leeway. Free agents or traded players, that's a business relationship. If you go and you pay for something, and I know it's not our money, but if you go and you pay for something and you do not believe that the services are rendered, you're going to be upset. You're going to leave bad Yelp reviews, and you're going to leave bad Google reviews, and you're going to call customer service and complain. Well, here we are at customer service. They're complaining to us. They're leaving bad reviews on social media. Yeah, you feel like you did not get your money's worth, and you are dissatisfied as a customer. It's that simple. It's that simple. If they do well, then good. Continued. But you know, that's to a lot of fans, that's what you're paid to do. You're paid to do well. You're paid to be a vessel for my enjoyment, my success as a fan, and wanting this team to do well. If he were drafted here, I think it would be still a little bit of a different story. But I think right now that this is, it's just looking like this was a non-starter from the very get-go. Everything between the fans and him just has been oil and water from the very beginning. There's been a couple of points of outreach here and there that have been nice, but for the most part, they only care if you do well. They only care if you win, and you didn't win, and he didn't do well, so that's two strikes against you, and he's got to pull the thing up and get going for next week because Jacksonville's 0-1, and they're going to try to get you, and if you start off 0-2 and you don't play well again, people are going to freak out still. I mean, that's not to take anything away from the rest of the team. The rest of the team played like garbage. The entire product was garbage yesterday. From beginning to end, coaching, the team, everything was garbage. But he's the guy we focus on. I mean, they still wait for the other guy because the other guy was drafted.
Yeah, and I don't think beating Jacksonville is going to change all those minds that are dead set against them, that didn't want them to begin with. But I do think it can at least make this last game yesterday more explainable. Like, if he comes out, they've got a great pass rush. I mean, Jacksonville does have a great pass rush. If they can handle that, and he actually looks good this week, and then in the post game he's going to say, you know, yeah, I was shaken in that opening game, didn't feel right, wasn't able to step into throws, didn't know how the shoulder, didn't know how the arm would respond. I think it's more explainable. But if he doesn't play well in that game, yikes.
I'm more nervous. I'm not mad today. I'm nervous. I'm nervous. And I don't have answers. So when you don't have answers, you get angry. I'm not mad. I'm very nervous. Next week, I might be mad. Week after that, I might be mad. So this has been a real terrible morning. I'm thankful that everybody spent some time with us. Make sure you're listening to Baskin and Phelps. Make sure you're listening to Kevin Stefanski at 12:30. We'll see what he has to say about all this. Make him find some better answers than what he had yesterday. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10.